This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Tammy Schrantz from Burleson, Texas, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December the 4th. This is episode 1055, and it's brought to you by Roads of the Horse. Good morning, horse world.
It's time for our holiday Road to the Horse episode with the deadliest elf ever on horseback, Tammy Schrantz.
Merry Christmas, y'all.
You're now the deadliest elf.
I can't help but laugh. That's funny, Glenn. I haven't heard that. That's hilarious. Deadliest elf.
Well, we were coming up one day in the show, we were coming up with elf names for everybody.
What was mine?
Well, you're the deadliest elf, apparently. That's your elf name. And I was trying to come up with, like, you know, Tammy Six Shooter, or because Jamie was like Jamie Jumper Pants, and I was Glenn Scooter Pops.
You know what my brother calls me?
What?
My brother, when I was little, and he still calls me this, he calls me Tambo. Like Rambo, well, but Tambo.
Yeah. That could be an elf name, right? Tambo. That is an elf
because
name.
Because he said I was such a mean child. He still calls me out. He's like, hey, Tambo, how's it going? I'm like, aw. So, yeah, I get called Tambo, and then I get called Aussie Oakley, both of them. Sorry, there's some ideas for you, Glenn.
Okay, I'll think on that.
I like Tambo the best because I love my brother. He's so cool.
You know, elves have a second name that's like Jumper Bottom or, you know, weird second names.
Oh,
so
okay.
We'll have to come up with a second name for you. What kind of guns do you shoot?
That's a loaded question. I just switched. I shoot Rugers.
Rugers. Tammy Ruger Bottom.
And how do you know so much about elves, Glenn?
I don't know. We learned it all on the show on Monday.
That's the scary thing.
We did. That was the whole of Monday's show was elf names. That's what we got accomplished here.
So what about Jennifer? What was her name?
What was your name, Jennifer? Now I can't remember. It's on the Facebook page. I have to look it up here. Jennifer had a funny name. I can't find it. Oh, here it is. Jennifer was a Ginger Snap.
Uh-huh.
Ginger Snap Ember Spice. That was her name, Ginger Snap Ember Spice.
That's a mouthful.
We just call her Ginger Snap. So
I like Ginger Snap cookies.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
Well, hey, Ginger Snap, do you have what's coming up on today's show?
Today, live on Horses in the Morning by Road to the Horse, the wild card competitors James Cooler and Dan Keem will be stopping by with updates on their 4-6 colts, and trick rider Ginger Snap Duke ups the smile factor with a look at how the opening act will be coming together for this year's show. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. And you guys, I see, you know, and you're going to have to explain why this is exciting, because I think anybody that doesn't follow Road to the Horse, by the way, welcome everybody to the show this morning. Tammy is here the first Thursday of every month, and Tammy works with the Road to the Horse, used to be the host of our Western radio show with Alan, and it's always good to talk to you once a month over here. But you've had something that apparently is very exciting in the Road to the Horse world, but I think those of us that are kind of on the outside are confused by why it's so exciting, and that's the introduction of the Remuda?
Yes, Glenn. Yeah, that's kind of like the Christmas present for Road to the Horse.
So tell us what it is and why it's important.
What it is Dr. Bludgett from the 4-6 Ranch puts together a Remuda for Road to the Horse, and it's a selection of his finest colts that he would like to showcase. So These are all geldings, and they're all 3 years old, and we try and keep them as consistent as possible. That way it's all fair to the competitor. So they are all geldings, and they're all the same age. They've all been handled in the same manner. They kind of had their, you know, weanling, yearling shots and their feet trimmed, and they've been turned out on the range. So these are colts that really have not had a lot of handling, but they're really well-bred colts. So this remuda, Dr. Bludger puts together, and Tootie and I go out. We went out about a month ago and looked at the remuda, and they gathered them up, and we went through them and looked at them on paper and then looked at them in person, and the cowboys split them up for us one at a time so we could take a good look at them. And so we got to see them, and we put them together. There's a total of 12 horses that will be running in the remuda, and then we announce one a day starting the 1st of December for Christmas. So we're on our fourth colt today. But there's some really well-bred horses in there. There's some horses that were related to past champions. There's horses related to the wild card horses. So there's a really great selection. And there's one horse I can't tell you much about in Glenn because I haven't released him yet. But let's just say that the 6th of December is going to be really special.
You have your eye on that one, Tammy. I would love to buy that colt.
Yes, 6th of December. Mr. 6th of December is amazing. So,
is that one going to make it to Lexington, Tammy, or is that going to be stopping off in Rutherford?
It's debatable. You know, I'm definitely considering buying a Christmas present for myself, and I'm wondering if I can snap him up early before he goes to Road to the Horse. But, yeah. But
Tammy calls dibs. Shotgun. Jimmy's riding shotgun on that.
Oh.
Yep.
I guess I can give you a little hint, but he's Palomino, Glenn. I can tell you that.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's a very rare Palomino from one of the 6 Estallions, and he was my favorite. When they gathered the remuda, he was just, you know, he was real curious, and he was friendly, and he was just a good old guy. So...
You know, the 4/6 Ranch has tons of horses there, and they have tons of babies. How do they pick out personality-wise? Do they spend time with them? How do they tell which ones are going to be good?
I think they go on previous breedings, and I had a long chat with Dr. Bludgeon, and he talked about the breedings of the stallions and the past history of the mares and the colts that they've had. So he goes a lot on the bloodlines. But the one thing I learned when I went to the 6 was, Glenn, I went to the headquarters, and they said, we're going to get on a truck, and we go catch the horses, and they're in a trap, and we'll catch them for you, and you can look at them. So we thought, oh, well, that's great. So in, you know, my mind, a trap is a very small pen, like a cutting pen where you put cattle behind the arena.
Right.
That's trap, you know. So I took my big lens off my camera, put my little lens on, because I'm like, these guys are going to be, like, really close to me. So jumped in the truck, drove for half an hour to the middle of absolutely nowhere where I could not find my way back. And a trap is 100 acres at the 6th. So I got out of my truck, and I'm like, where's the horse? Yeah, it's 100 acres. And then they're like, well, we've got to go to this other trap, and there's one horse over there. And I was like, okay, what I learned today at the 6th is when you go to a trap, you have to clarify the size of the trap, you know?
Plus, we were driving for half an hour on their property to get to it.
I almost got lost last year when I went out to look at the remuda because I got left behind, and then I couldn't quite find my way back to the main road. So, yeah, safety numbers, clarify the size of the trap. That's what I learned at the 6th. And the cooking is amazing. I went for lunch at the headquarters, and they have they cook for the cowboys there every day. So they eat well on the 6th.
Cowboys eat well? They eat well there?
They eat very well, very well. So.
Now, is the 4/6 is still using horses, or are they on four-wheelers, or, you know, what are they, a little bit of everything?
Yeah, I think a little bit of everything. I don't know, you know, too much about it, but everything I've ever seen is horse work. I mean, they do it the old-fashioned way, and they ride them, and everyone that's gathered the remuda for us has gone out on horseback. And it was kind of cool because one of the cowboys that went out on horseback to gather the remuda was actually riding a colt that I think it was Pat Pirelli had started at Road to the Horse, and he had gone back there and he was riding him, and it was a really nice horse. So it's kind of cool to see some of the past Road to the Horse horses there.
And I assume the 4/6 makes its money in cattle?
They have cattle, and they have a lot of racehorse stuff going. They run a lot of quarter horse running horses. And they're doing a lot of ranch versatility now. And Dr. Blodgett was kind of talking to me about that. And they are breeding a lot of running quarter horse bred horses with the racing quarter horse horses to give a bigger ranch horse with a little more size and a little more stamina. And he's trying to do that to kind of get a little more versatility in the ranch horse. So that's why in the Remuda you'll see a lot of running horses crossed with a lot of cow horses. You'll see like Playing Stylish crossed with Stoli. And they are just trying to open up the bloodlines a little bit and give some fresh ranch horses in there. So it's a phenomenal idea.
Well, you know, to give people an idea, the Four Sixes Ranch in Texas is 275,000 acres. It's big. It's really big.
Crazy big, yes. And there's a lot of cowboys there, and they have their own vet clinic, and I got to see a little bit of that. And it's just, and they're so hospitable. I mean, they're so nice. When I pulled up there, there was a school bus full of cheerleaders having lunch there on the way through. Someone else was taking
what,
a
to
tour.
Keep the cowboys happy or what?
I think it was a college, and you know, they had just stopped by to pick up lunch or something and look at the ranch, and then another college was there on a day tour. And it's just it's a piece of history, and it's just such an honor to even be there, Glenn, and actually see those horses and see them work. And it's just, I don't know, they had the Four Sixes brand on their leggings, and it's just cool.
I'm reading here that they really try and make their land work for them.
Yes.
So they have 30 acres per cow on average. So it's not like they're smashing them in there. You know, they don't. And they have 48 windmills. Did you see windmills around?
There's windmills up there, and you drive for like, I don't know how long, but you're actually on the Sixes before you get there. So, they have a lot of land.
And I'm sure there's some oil wells popping up here and there, too, pumping oil.
I'm sure that helps the cattle business.
Yeah, it sure does. They are in Texas, after all. Very cool. Very cool. That is kind of neat that you get to do that. I don't think those of us that live in the East and haven't experienced Texas ranches like that, you know, I have no comprehension of 275,000 acres.
No. And, you know, we finished our annual production meeting, and we had all our staff from all over the country fly in to Abilene, Texas, which is kind of west of Fort Worth. And Debbie Sullivan, who we've had on the show, she came and flew out to DFW, and I picked her up, and I drove her 3 or 4 hours out to Abilene, Texas, which is in the west, which consists of a lot of nothing. And she was just said, you know, she thinks of her life back in Florida. I think she lives somewhere maybe around you, Glenn, but she said, you don't even think stuff like this is out here. And we drove past a lot of cotton crops, and she said, you know, we're here in Florida, and we're going out and eating lunch at the restaurant. And not one part of me thinks of the farmer that can't get enough rain to grow his cotton out here, you know, because there were some bad crops out there. And she was just amazed by the total difference and the diversity in the country. And when I drove her out to Abilene, she got to see hours of it firsthand. But she was just like, you know, it's like one hand's doing one thing and the other hand's doing the other thing, and they have no idea, you know. So there's definitely a lot of diversity here, and when you're out there in the middle of nowhere, it's a different life, you know.
Well, let's talk, and where can people, by the way, they can see the horses popping up. I'm sure you have pictures and everything over on the Road to the Horse Facebook page. Is that the best place?
Yep, that's the best place, Glenn. We haven't released today's horse yet, but we have released the last three horses, and there's a really cute colt. The first colt that we released, his name is I Like Cows, and it's E-Y-E, like cows. He's really cute. So he was a big hit. He was the first one that got released on the 1st of December, and then there's a couple of sorrel geldings after there. But they are on Road to the Horse Facebook, or you can go to the Road to the Horse website and find them there. So they're pretty cute.
Very good. Well, before we go too far into the show, we have to talk a little bit about you, because you are a star now.
I've been getting a lot of messages.
Well, I'll tell you, and I'll tell you how I knew about this was not your Facebook page, although I did go back and then take a look. But my sister-in-law said, "Don't you have a girl that's into mounted shooting that is a host on one of your shows?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Her name's Tammy." And she said, "She's just in the American Horse Magazine. I just read an article about her." So my sister-in-law even said something.
Yes. I got approached by AQHA, and they wanted me to write my story of my head injury and my recovery from my perspective. And I work with AQHA for Road to the Horse, and they support the Remuter and do a lot for us. And I said, you know, I'd like to write it from my perspective because I've had people listen to me and write my story, but I've never written it myself, you know. So obviously I'm so busy with Road to the Horse, it took a couple of months for me to sit down and write it. But I got it wrote, and I sent it in, and she said to me it was a little long for the magazine. She said, but I just don't know where I would cut it. She said, I'm going to see if I can get the whole lot put in. And they did. They published the whole lot. And a lot of the messages I'm getting are from people who have had head injuries, Glenn, that haven't had the confidence to get back in the saddle. So I've had a lot of people that have got hurt in a car accident or horse riding accident, and they're actually considering wearing helmets now, and actually some of them didn't even think about wearing helmets to give them some extra confidence. And so I think it's really stressed the importance of wearing helmets when you're riding, and it's kind of inspired some people who might be in a similar situation to believe that they can get back on a horse, and like I did, and keep riding or shooting or barrel racing or whatever it is they do. So I think it's been a great article to inspire some people that might have needed a little inspiration.
Well, yeah, you know, and I'm... You know, it's just hard to talk about with you here, but, you know, you're an inspiration in many ways because, you know, the accident is just one of a dozen things that have been challenges for you. And I'm saying that nicely, you know, challenges for you over the last couple of years. You know, we could use much harsher terms than that. You've gone through a lot over the last couple of years, and that, you know, the fact that you're still here, you're still kicking, and you're still doing the job, and, you know, you're still riding, and you're still, you know, you're still being a world champion at a sport is amazing. And you know, we obviously can't go through everything that you've gone through, and people can get America's Horse Magazine. Is it December issue?
Yes, sir. Sure is.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
So they can read that, but it's been so many things. So you are an inspiration that way, and, you know, and thank you for being that and for still being here today. Because you could have chosen a different path. You know?
Well, and it was hard. And when I look back on coming back from a TBI, which I got from a car accident, I think the very hardest thing I've ever done out of when I look at everything, Glenn, is walking back into the arena for the first time, knowing that you were a world champion, and you still are, but you don't have it anymore. And you don't have the balance, and you don't have the reaction, and you're so green to it again. I remember walking in that arena, and I was petrified. And I told myself, you know, you don't have to set a world record. Just lope through, have fun, and just get the first one over with. But I had all my friends gathered around me, and I was like, you know when you do that sobby little girl cry thing and you get the wrinkles in your chin? That's what I was doing when I walked out, and I was just, that was probably the hardest thing. So sometimes, you know, making that first step back. And I've always said to myself when I look back at things that I've wanted to achieve, I don't have to achieve them today. I just have to know that I'm putting one foot in front of the other and I'm headed in the right direction. That'll make me happy, you know. So it's about setting realistic goals and expectations, but always making sure that you're in the right direction. You know, don't be disappointed because you're not there yet. Just make sure you're headed that way, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing that's helped me.
You know, they always say, and I went through the same thing when I was when I got really, really, really sick with Lyme. They always say you learn more about yourself, and you learn more about you learn more about living your life a different way when something like that happens. People have heart attacks or whatever it is,
yep.
And it is true. You know, that's not just a cliche. It is true.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to our first guest here today.
And I think Dan Keene's joining us early, isn't he, Glenn?
Yes. Yep.
Yep, Dan Keene. Dan Keene is a wild card for the first time in 2015, so we're very excited to see what he brings with his horse. He is riding Mr. Stylish Gin, which he calls Ricky Bobby, so you'll have to ask him why he calls him Ricky Bobby. But we welcome Dan King to the Horse Radio Network.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, it's a little bit nippy out here, but we got a bunch of horses that are willing to be ridden, so it's a great morning so far.
Glenn wouldn't know about that. Lucky Glenn's in Florida.
Yeah, it's beautiful here.
Well, good. We might just have to come join you.
Yeah.
A lot of horse people are.
Yeah. I think I'm going to come to Ocala in January. Craig Cameron's having one of those extreme races, and we've been invited to come out and play with those guys. So,
is that right? Yeah, we're in Ocala.
January.
We're in Ocala.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to meet up. Maybe you can come over and join us live for the morning show some morning.
Oh, that'd be great.
Fun.
I'd love to.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, Dan, and you're a little bit English, too. Makes you a little bit different than a lot of the competitors out there.
Well, I'll tell you how I got into that, Glenn. I was a roper for many years. I grew up on ranches and doing cowboy stuff and competed in team roping and tried to make a living at it for a while, and that didn't go over so well. But anyway, I was a blacksmith for
what, you didn't make anybody
years.
In horses? You're the only one, Dan. You're the only one that's ever...
Hey, unless you're the top five in the world, you're just not really making a whole lot of money.
But even if you are, I don't think you are.
Yeah, true. You better have some good sponsors, huh? But it was a heck of an experience. It was so much fun. Glad I got to do it when I was young. But, I was a blacksmith for 25 years and shod mostly English horses and ended up helping a lot of those people with some of their problem cases and starting babies and stuff. And next thing you know, I'm riding some jumping horses and helping with dressage horses and really felt that putting some of that English into my Western horses, goodness, man, it just made them so much better. And then I got to competing in jumping a couple of years ago, and that's just been a hoot. I just really enjoyed it, you know. I was a little leery of their wardrobe at first, but, I held on to my man card and put on the pants, and now I'm okay with it. my
you know what, man? It's funny consolation. No guy looks good in breeches, so you're just in there.
You're so right. I'm just glad my team roping buddies are not there to see it. You know, they've seen some pictures, and they'll poke at me, but I say, hey, it takes a big man to put those pants on, boys. So, anyway, it's really been an educational experience, and I've just enjoyed it. Just, you know, I've been able to take some horses and take them to shows and compete on them and make them better and rehab some customer horses and show them and make them better. So it's just so cool to be able to, you know, rehab these horses and make them better for the people so that they can be safe and go win. And it's super rewarding to do that. And I just love dealing with all disciplines and watching all the professionals in every discipline and learning from them. It's just, you know, having that all-around kind of thing is just, it's huge for me. I love it.
So, Dan, how did you hear about Roads of the Horse, and what made you sit there one day and say, hey, I could do that?
I saw it on TV about the second year it was done, and then went out and watched it for 6 years in a row, and every year just got more enthusiastic about it, and I watched it so much that I thought, well, I really want a shot at this, and learn from all those guys that have been there and won it, and now I finally got a shot to go in there and compete with them, and I'm just super excited about it. You know, I had a friend the other day ask me, hey, what do you think about competing with Chris Cox? How do you feel? I said, the only thing that would be better is if Clinton Anderson and Pat Pirelli and Craig Cameron and all those guys were in there
bring
with
them
me. Bring them all in, because I'd love a shot to play with all of them.
That's the truth. That's a tough competition.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a good time. I'm really looking forward to getting there. Of course, it's going to be nerve-wracking, but, you know, it's whoever can settle their nerves the best and control their emotions, and they're going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I've had the chance to compete most of my life, so... You know, in different events, so hopefully I can hold it together for that one. But that'll probably be the biggest event I've ever competed in.
I was just going to say they don't usually draw 8,000 people to team roping competitions in the stands. So you're
that's true.
Well, yeah, most jumping competitions at that level either.
Yeah, unless you're at the Olympics or something.
So, Dan, tell us a little bit about Ricky Bobby. That's what you call him. His name's Mr. Stylish Gin. Tell us a little bit about his personality. What kind of guy is he?
He's one of those kind of horses, Tammy, that just wants it. Mm-hmm. From day one, he's always been willing to learn. And obviously, the 4.6s has done a great job of breeding that sort of a mentality into these horses. And it seems like most of them are like that. But, he's never had a day where he's just wanted to flip me off. He's, I approach him. He wants to go to work. Of course, we've had some days that I didn't feel like we were as successful as we could have been, but, you're always probably going to have more of those than not, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But his training's just really come along. He's willing to accept anything I ask him. So I just love the little horse. He's just always my favorite. So
mm-hmm.
Were those days how he got his name, Ricky Bobby?
How he got his name was from my favorite movie of all time, Talladega Nights. With Will Ferrell.
Yep.
And, that's sad that that's your favorite movie.
I know. I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah.
I'm
that
sorry, Dan.
John Wayne and the Cowboys.
Need to get out more.
You're so right about that.
Okay,
well,
go ahead.
It's just the stupidest, funniest movie, I think.
It is stupid.
It is so stupid. It's not real, but it's just so silly.
Yeah.
And, anyway, so, yeah, I named him after Ricky Bobby, and because if you ain't first, you're last, and that's kind of the way I compete is I'm either going to run at it or not. So I'm not going to go compete for second place.
No.
I love my competitors, and I respect them, but by golly, I'm gonna win. Do whatever it takes. Kind of like Ricky Bobby, he's either going to crash his car or he's going to win first place.
Something's going to happen there.
Or he's going to be drunk. There's three options with Ricky Bobby. So I wasn't sure if your horse was one of those that likes a beer a day, like some of the race horses do. No.
I haven't even offered him that. I do more of that than he does. I need that more than he does.
As far as I know, Road to the Horse doesn't test for alcohol. So, in the horse.
He should be all right.
Yeah. But he did have to have a little bit of time off not long ago. I had a shoulder surgery about 4 weeks ago, and that's been terrible. I've never been down before, and I was down for about 3 weeks and couldn't do anything with one arm. But at least I was able to do some things on the ground with him to kind of keep him, keep his brain intact and keep him supple and soft and pliable and whatever I could do one-handed. But, gosh, when I got back to riding, my confidence wasn't what it was before. My balance wasn't the same. I was leery about, hurting myself again. I got to ride with this doggone sling around my arm. So, but we're getting it done. I can get my horses, I can ride my one-handed horses, and I have some great help that works with my other horses. So, yeah, he hadn't had much time off.
Well, maybe a couple of weeks done him some good to freshen him up a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. You got to put a little bit of weight on and
Winner does that to all of us.
Yeah.
So we've seen some videos of Ricky Bobby jumping. Are you putting a lot of English work into him, or how do you think the English influence is coming through with Ricky Bobby?
That teaches him a whole lot of balance. And getting them to go through obstacles and jump teaches them to use their feet properly. It gives them more confidence. It teaches those horses to just wait. Do a job, now wait for me. Do a job, now wait for me. Use your feet properly. Don't be a slug. Be an athlete. Now wait for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have lots of, just sort of exercises, obstacles and things that just really teaches them balance. And, I like to be able to go through those obstacles and be able to change leads at the same time. It's really made my horses more pliable, softer, responsive, snappier, slower, faster. It's given me the whole package.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dan, I know a lot of dressage trainers, and a lot of them now are getting horses in from the western side for early training. And, you know, I think a lot of the Western riders now and competitors in whatever discipline are seeing the value in having their horses classically trained on the ground. And it just it is fascinating to see now. We're seeing more crossover than we've ever seen before.
Well, that's the best thing the public can do. You know, for many years, the Western world was stuck in their world and the English world was stuck in their world, and they make fun of each other and degrade what they do. But I've seen it firsthand where you start mixing that stuff up and it just blows people away. Mm-hmm. You know, I still shoe a few horses for some old clients that I can't seem to part from because I love these people. I showed him a video clip of Ricky, and he's just a baby, and he's swapping leads like an 8-year-old dressage horse.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, God, that's, you know, how old is that horse? Well, he's just turned 3. I said, oh, my stars, that's amazing. So I think the Western people for many years have just, they've done things pretty early, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you learn how to swap leads as a 3-year-old? They do it in the pasture by themselves. Why can't you teach them on their back? So.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are starting to open up and starting to do things with these horses at a younger age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's certainly not going to hurt them. And then the English people are also seeing that, hey, we tie our horses to trees and teach them how to wait for us, and they load well, and their manners are great. And so the combination has just been amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, looking back on all your disciplines, Dan, do you have a favorite? I mean, your hunter jumper, your dressage, your reining, your cutting, your roping. What one would you rather be doing?
The one that pays the most money, which would be roping.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to wear those pants to roping unless somebody pays money.
That's an honest cowboy right there.
You better stick to reining, because we've determined here after looking at everything that the reiners, I think, make the most money. That's what we figured out.
You think the reiners make the most money? Who do you think makes the most money, Dan?
I think the cutting horse people.
Oh, yeah?
The reiners do well, but the cutters, gosh, some of those fraternities just pay a bazillion dollars.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly not the eventers or the dressage riders, we can tell you that.
I'll tell you where they have an itch, is they're able to sell those horses for 4 times the amount of money. That's what makes the English people winners, and that's why I've gotten into the English deal, because I can take some young babies from Argentina that we've gotten and get them to where they're confident in doing their job, and they have so much talent. Gosh, you can sell those horses to people, and they just love them. You know, they'll pay a whole lot more for an English horse than they will a Western horse.
Hey, Dan, let's bring in our next guest, who's one of your competitors for Road to the Horse on the Wild Card side. His name's James Cooler, and let's ask him that same question. Good morning, James.
Face off. Hi, James.
Hello. How y'all doing today?
Good. Happy birthday for yesterday.
Thank you. I had a great day.
Thanks to your lovely wife who stuck it on your Facebook page. Everybody knows.
I know. I didn't know she was going to do that, so it was a surprise for me.
James, so what do you think? Where's the most money in the horse world? Not being in the horse world? Is that where the
most money? Out of the horse world.
Well, I'm still figuring all that out myself, but I think kind of like I was listening, like Dan said, there's a lot of money in the roping and the cutting side of things, and he pretty much hit the nail on the head with the English horses as well. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a lot of prize money. And the show jumping, I think there might be, but I think the real money is in the sale of the horses on that side.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, $100,000 to win Road to the Horse ain't too shabby either. So, you know, there's that.
Well, there's that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
It has been a year's worth of work, though. I mean, it's not like you haven't earned it at that point.
Well, that's okay. We're having a lot of fun while we're trying to earn that, so it's a win-win.
I do have to say this before we let Dan go. Dan, your nickname for your horse is much cooler than James's. James's nickname for his horse is Gus. I mean, you know, Ricky Bobby got Gusty any day. I got to say, I give it to you there.
Hey, Gus is a cool name because that was after one of the coolest movies of all time.
Oh, is that from Lonesome Dove?
That was the inspiration. That was the inspiration.
Oh,
I watched
Glenn,
that movie
how could you even say that now?
Well,
coolest thing
ever.
Shame
on you,
Glenn. I'll take Talon over Lonesome Dove any day. So I'm with you on that one, Dan. I'm with you.
Well, Gus is a real cowboy name.
Yeah.
Well, sure. That was part of the inspiration behind it all, certainly.
Gosh, that's awesome. That's the only Western I like. I, honestly, I hate to say it, but I don't like Westerns. I think Westerns are like Mexican food. It's all the same parts, just mixed up different, you know? Hate Westerns, but I love Lonesome Dove.
Well, I can't say it's a name that fit him very well. He's a very straightforward, straight shooter kind of guy, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
So it
well,
worked out in that way.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate you being here. Your website is what?
DanKeenHorsemanship.com.
DanKeenHorsemanship.com. Everybody can hop on over there and check it out. And maybe we'll see you in a month here in Ocala.
I'm going to look you up, Glenn.
All right. Super. We'll keep in touch about that. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks for joining us, Dan.
You're welcome, and thank you all for having me. Y'all have a wonderful day.
You too. Catch you later.
All right,
take care, Dan.
Well, Dave, it sounds like we're going to have some competition here this year.
Oh, geez, yeah. No, it's going to be a good challenge, that's for sure. It's very exciting.
Hey, yeah, I got to tell you, too, that one of your other competitors on the female side, Mary Kitzmiller, is actually going to be hosting her own episode of Horses in the Morning here. A week from today, she'll be doing her first episode, and she'll be on with us once a month, talking training and breaking and that kind of thing. So we're surrounded by wild card competitors here on Horses in the Morning.
Yeah, it's hard to shake us off, that's for sure.
Oh.
Well, that's great for her. We'll have to tune in and check that out.
Yeah, she's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, she really has developed her own fan base of people just because she's female in this what tends to be a rather male world.
Well, it can be, but, you know, Mary's got a great personality. You know, our stalls were next to each other at the event last year, so we got to spend a lot of time. And she's just a fun person to be around. So I think she'll have a lot of fun doing that. So
yeah, she will.
I'm sure she'll be asking to come on, so keep an ear out for that.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, what our friends for.
That's right.
So, James, we talked to Dan about a lot of English influence in his horses, and your wife, if I'm correct, she has a lot of English influence in her riding. So do you find the same thing as Dan, as you're doing a lot of work in cross disciplines?
Yeah, you know, just as far as you know, the influence of horsemanship, you mean, in the crossover?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been on the East Coast for a little over 5 years now, and the English market out here, you know, it's much more predominant, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of felt like I had to be able to wrap my head around that.
Mm-hmm.
And I own a half Arab, half quarter horse that's got a great talent for jumping. I've never competed or anything, but I sort of did it as my side hobby, both for personal entertainment. It really is a lot of fun when you have
mm-hmm.
a horse that's talented at it. And just to be able to relate, you know, the fundamental concepts of good horsemanship, you know, to multiple styles of riding. I think that's the thing that people, you know, in the industry are seeing the value of, like Dan was saying, you know, that when you can take that base foundation and apply it
mm-hmm.
to whatever your finished purpose is going to be, you know, it just creates so much more harmony, you know, throughout the whole process. So, yeah, I certainly feel that. And
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of fun to sort of see where they overlap, and then, you know, maybe see where things, you know, the nuances might be a little bit different. And it's a fun challenge to understand that and to try to communicate it to people too. So.
Oh, yeah. And we saw a great video of Gus doing a lot of obstacle work and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about Gus and what his personality is like and what he's been like to work with.
Well, I mean, He's an awesome horse. I can say that first. You know, he's funny. He's just kind of this sweet little horse. He's got a very passive personality. You know, he's never making a big production out of anything. Out of all the horses I have right now, if somebody were to walk up, they'd probably guess he was, you know, the oldest and most trained. He's just so naturally mellow. you know, so his confidence is just, it's been easy. I almost feel guilty on that department. You know, I mean, just not much flaps his boat. And so the challenge, the flip side is, you know, he's a horse that he doesn't really see the value sometimes in being snappy and responsive. He can be a little bit just kind of, you know, let's just hang out and have a good time today. And you know, so that brings a lot of great qualities. But there's been a little bit of a challenge in kind of getting the pep in the step and get some of that sharp refinement. But that's really coming around. You know, so I look at horses as always a blend between, you know, how responsive to pressure are they going to be and how confident to, you know, unexpected scenarios are they going to be. And he's off the charts in the confidence department. And, you know, so we're just doing our work to get our maneuvers down, which is really coming around. And he's just a fun horse. He's just a sweet horse. He just, you know, he really likes people. You know, he'll walk right up and enjoys being scratched. And he's just a lot of fun to be around. So. But, you know, and as far as the obstacle course, that was just a lot of fun because we have some good friends at Happenstance Stable in Ohio that have that really neat little course they've built. And so we got a lot of time to just play out there and make it fun and really get him into it. And he just, you know, he just loves that stuff. It's lope and circles isn't his thing, but if you give him a job, he really can get into it. And it makes it fun. He's a very sure-footed horse. He just knows where his feet are at all the time in that way. You know, he's never...
That's probably from growing up on the sixes.
Well, I can imagine that has a large part, you know. Deuce and him are definitely, they never really seem to be too concerned about where their feet are at. They're very, very aware of that. And I think you're right. That's a huge byproduct of ranch-raised horses. You know, they have to stay in tune with that for their own well-being, certainly.
Well, this was your horse from the last wildcard competition at Roads of the Horse 2014. Give us a little update on what you've been doing with Deuce and how he's doing.
Yeah, no, he's, you know, he's doing great. He had a great recovery, you know, as he got a little sick and turned out to be pretty minor. But we got it all under control pretty quick. And really, I gave him some time off. You know, I mean, it was kind of that whole period was pretty interesting for me because, you know, we turned around and we're going to come charging out of the gates, so to speak, you know, with the new horse Stolen Water at the time. And, you know, it was a minor thing. It was very, very minor, but he was just ever so slightly off, and I just did not feel comfortable, you know, kind of saying, well, let's see if we can compete this horse. I just didn't feel it was right for him. So then that was when we went on the whole adventure of getting Gus and drove to Texas and back from North Carolina, and that was a lot of fun. But, you know, Deuce really, he had some time off for about 3 months. I think I rode him maybe six times.
Yep.
And, you know, just let him hang out and just kind of, you know, he went, you know, it was a big year, so let him have a breather. And I had plenty of other things to focus on. And so then I just slowly brought him back. But now he's, you know, almost full time. And he's just an awesome horse. You know, he's so athletic and, you know, he's got a big personality. He's a little more skeptical about things, so, you know, you wouldn't just ride him into an obstacle course and expect to breeze through it still. He just, you know, he's kind of wants to know what things are before he settles in, but his athleticism and his snappiness is just really neat, and the way he collects up, and he has this sort of elasticity about his movement that I've always thought was really unique. So he's been helping me with a lot of horses that I've been working with projects, you know, training projects, you know, rehab cases and behavioral issues. And I work a lot of horses from his back just because he's really good at it. And it sort of, you know, takes the pressure off my own two knees and it lets me work from above other horses, which is a great advantage if you can. So just been doing a lot of that and just kind of keeping him having fun, having a job. It's not too demanding, but he's just slowly getting better and better. And, I'm about to probably get into a lot of team roping with him is what I'm thinking.
Cool.
I've got some opportunities, and I used to do a lot of heading, and I've always had an eye on that. And now I've got
a good
opportunity. Yeah, I got the good horse, and I got a good setup, and I got a good guy that wants to rope with me. So so we're going to start working towards that.
Tammy, remind everybody, you know, when James gets to Road to the Horse next year, for people who haven't followed it or are new listeners, when the wild cards get to Road to the Horse, they have one day of competition. What do they do?
Well, a lot of that's secret, Glenn.
No, I meant what's the day like? What do they do?
No, the day, we're actually having the mounted shooters do, MSA is coming in to do an invitational mounted shoot, which is separate to the wildcard competition on Thursday. And then the wildcards will come in, and they will have two main elements. They will have a raining-type pattern, which they have to get through, and then they will have an obstacle-type pattern to get through. And both of them, they won't know until they get there. But, you know, it's to test the versatility of the horse, how broke he is. There'll be some obstacles similar to what you'll find in the competitor lineup for Roads of the Horse. So they'll definitely be put to the test. And they're also going to be judged on body condition and, you know, just the overall condition of the horse and how they are presented at Roads of the Horse. So it's a combination of a lot of different things. And there's a...
Well, James, last year I was there, and I think, too, one of the things that Tammy didn't mention, and that I think that a lot of the competitors, when they go into this, don't realize is that the other big factor is winning the crowd and truly entertaining the crowd. While doing all of that other stuff, you've got to be making friends with 8,000 people sitting there. Did you find that? I mean, that it became evident as the day went on that, you know, the crowd favorite, I think really one of the crowd favorites ended up being the wild card winner and then the ultimate winner of the weekend. But what did you find?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a big part of it, you know. I think as a clinician, you know, all of us are in tune, you know, when you build a career as an educator and a clinician and a, you know, sometimes an entertainer doing demonstrations and trying to make horsemanship fun and interesting. You know, I sort of, I guess, looking back on that question, yeah, pretty much everybody was in tune with the fact that there's going to be a big crowd and you need to be aware of that, and you want to represent the event well, and you want to go out and not only show your horse very well, but make it fun to watch. And, you know, I think everybody did a great job of that, and obviously, you know, Jim did a very spectacular job of that. And but, you know, it is a thing that you do keep in mind, and for me personally, I guess, I kind of feed off of that. You know, you want to go out and it's sort of hand in hand. If you go and you do well and your horse does well and it's smooth and it looks nice, I think people like seeing that. And then after that, all you got to do is, you know, put a smile on your face and wave and thank everybody for coming out and watching. And you know, but you certainly, you want that to be a fun experience for the people. But that's a pretty intuitive thing for, I think, for most of the people back there, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, and I think Glenn brings up a really good point because there's a lot of people who are really, really, really good at horsemanship but can't teach it. And mm-hmm. what Tootie's put together and selected is a bunch of phenomenal young horse people that can not only do horsemanship, they can teach it. And I think that's a really important thing of being a good trainer or a good clinician is having the ability to relate to that crowd and not just being good at it yourself, but being good where you can teach other people. And that's definitely mm-hmm. a shift, I think.
Yeah, you know, I call it the edutainment factor, you know, or edutainment, you know, education and entertainment. And, you know, you think about the guys like, you know, Double Dan and Guy mm-hmm. McLean and whatnot, you know, they're great educators, but their entertainment factor is really, you know,
yeah.
something special to watch. And, you know, so that things like that, I guess, you know, speaking for myself, I know
mm-hmm.
it gives me something to shoot for. I don't know if I have a personality quite as big as those guys is, but I like going out and, you know, and having fun, you know, in my own way. And that's a big draw to, you know, wanting to do this as a living and a big, you know, part of the excitement of being involved with Road to the Horse is that it is a hallmark of that. And, you know, I think you know, everybody in the business that's sort of in this niche of it, you know, is always trying to grow in that way. You know, how can I have fun for myself? How can I make it fun for other people, but yet be effective in what I'm teaching, you know, whether it be a horse or another person.
Mm-hmm.
And Road to the Horse, yeah, certainly I think is the hallmark for presenting that. Definitely.
Hey, let's be real, too. Being a good-looking cowboy doesn't hurt in that crowd. So,
good-looking cowboy,
well,
good-looking
horse.
Well, you
know, the guys are pretty good-looking, so.
Just go out shirtless in the obstacle course. You'll get the crowd. It won't be a problem.
Nobody's recommended that one yet. That'd be original. I think Dan Keene might be the guy for that one, though. I'm not sure.
Bobby Knight might be. He's always the one doing in that Superman T-shirt.
Yeah. He could come out with a cape on. That would be good.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a lot of fun. So.
No, it's going to be a blast. It really is. And I know for myself, very excited about this year, you know, kind of much more familiar with the event, the flow of things, of course, now, and very excited about the horse we have and where he's at in his training and the time we have left to prepare. And then likewise, looking forward to going down in Florida here in about 6 or 7 weeks, too, for the Cowboy Race competition. It sounds like a lot of the competitors are going to be down there as well. So.
Yeah. Super. Well, we wish you and Gus the best of luck. Can't wait to see you in March. And, you know, it's going to be around the corner before we know it. It's definitely coming fast.
Yeah, it will be. Yep, it will be.
And your website, James, if people want to learn more, where do they go?
Yeah, just coolerhorsemanship.com. You know, we do have an online video library that we're building more and more, and we just got done shooting a bunch of great fall footage with Deuce and Gus for sort of our foundational training section and advanced foundation training. So, if people are wanting to check something out, that's going to be coming out here towards the end of this month. And we also have our Facebook page, which always has lots of information.
Awesome. And that's coolerhorsemanship.com. So we wish you the best of luck, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and look forward to seeing all of y'all soon.
Thanks, Jay.
Jim.
All right, you bet. Y'all take care.
You too. Bye.
Well, that was fun. Two great competitors. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch here in March at Road to the Horse. It's the end of March this year, right?
Yes, 26th to the 29th. And
we're going to have to be in Lexington 2 months in a row. We'll be up there for that and then have to head back for Rolex at the end of April.
Oh, don't even tell me about Rolex.
Aren't you going to come out and visit us this year?
Well, last year I had a really big shooting competition, which was on, which I'm glad I went because there was a lot of added money there. But I really want to come to Rolex, and I do want to, you know, I love the course.
You've been there before, right? Haven't you been there once?
I haven't actually been for Rolex, Glenn. I went for
the
World Equestrian Games and watched the cross country at WEG.
Oh, you're going to have to come up and you're going to have to come up to Rolex and hang out with us.
I would love to.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for our song of the day. I have a little Bren Hill, one of his holiday songs called North Pole Rodeo. And then we're going to come back. We're going to change gears a little bit, aren't we, with our next guest?
We are. Yep, not a competitor. One of the staff members of Road to the Horse.
Well, you know, and a superstar, so we'll throw that in there. With a name like Ginger Duke, you have to be. I think it's
required. Reminds me of Ginger Snap now. I'm scarred forever after the elf name. Gosh.
You know, Ginger Duke, we could come up with lots of clever elf names with that, right? I mean, we could work with that.
You'll have to think about it where the song's playing and let me know what you come up with.
All right. Well, let's take a listen to one of our auditors, and then we're coming back with Bren Hill.
Hi, Fiona Crawford here, and I'm an official Horse Radio Network auditor. I'm a horse photographer based in the UK. And when I'm editing my images, I listen to a vast selection of great programs provided by the Horse Radio Network. Both informative and really entertaining, I think it's worth a few dollars or pounds of anyone's money. Just go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the banner. And for as little as a dollar a month, you too can become an official Horse Radio Network auditor.
It's a cold, cold place, 6 months till dawn. Toes are all delivered, Christmas is gone. There ain't much to do, 36 below. Saddle up the reindeer and have a rodeo. Shake the holiday blues, wearing cowboy boots and faded denim tights. Watch Rudolph, Buck, and Elk to ride through the Northern Lights. And there ain't no better show
That is Bren Hill with North Pole Rodeo. You can find all of his music at brenhill.com. You're listening to the Horses in the Morning show, brought to you today by Road to the Horse. And, of course, I'm Glenda Geek here with Timi Sarant, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. You can find Road to the Horse at roadtothehorse.com. And, Timi, I wanted to announce, too, that we are here every day for Horses in the Morning, every weekday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Tomorrow morning we'll be back with our Friday show. Jamie will be here, my normal co-host. And it, of course, is Really Bad Ads Day. It's still our most popular segment we do every week here on the show, where we have some fun with some Craigslist ads from around the country that our listeners send to us.
That's my favorite part, Glenn. And whenever I see a horse trailer now for sale, or I always think of you whenever I see a really bad ad. I'm like, oh, Glenn would like that.
We are amazed every week that people come up with the number of ads that they do, the ton of them.
And then
we always do a bad horse trailer of the week. Jennifer must have 50 bad horse trailers lined up. I didn't realize there were that many crappy horse trailers sitting on the back of farms until we started doing this. It's amazing.
I love those ads, I really do, but none of my horses travel in bad trailers. They're not even allowed to travel in a bumper pull trailer. I don't like bumper pull trailers, Glenn.
You know, it's funny because I don't like them either, and Jennifer likes bumper pulls and doesn't like driving fifth wheels.
Oh, really?
But I just like driving goosenecks. They're just so much easier. They just follow you. Whereas the bumper pulls sometimes don't follow you too well.
No, I don't know, but I find them harder to back up a bumper pull than I do a gooseneck. I don't know why, but I'm sure there's some.
Well, yeah, they definitely are harder to back. You know, I had an experience once driving down the highway where a truck passed us,
uh-huh.
And it was a bumper pull two-horse, and a truck passed us and caught that two-horse just right, and it started fishtailing on me. And we were so close to wrecking. I managed to get it back under control by accelerating, which is what you do, which is the exact opposite
of
what you think.
Oh, really? I would put my foot on the brake.
Yeah, and that causes
that
the trailer to push against the truck and make it worse. What you want to do is accelerate out of it and basically pull the trailer out of the fishtail. But, boy, that's a hard thing to do because your instinct is every time something goes wrong in the car, right, your instinct's put on the brake. I managed to do that. We were doing about 70 at the time, but yeah, that thing went, and I mean, it was at least 2 to 3 feet either direction with the horses on it. Yeah, that was years ago, but that ever since then, I've just never liked doing, I never liked doing bumper pulls.
I was driving just crossing the California state line, Glenn, and I had a block of wood come off the back of a Western hauler bed. You know the block of wood that you put your foot for your trailer in? And I was driving some very expensive cutting horses, and this guy in this brand-new Escalade or whatever zips around me, pulls up to my window and flags me over. And I'm like, oh, my God, I've just crossed into California. Like, is there something wrong with the horse that I'm in my trailer, or what's wrong? So I actually pulled over, and the guy's like, a big block of wood came off the back of your truck and hit the grill of my new Escalade. And I'm like, did you run over that
thing?
No. I ran over the same thing. Anyway, it just happened to be a lawyer, and I just happened to call the California state line, and he just happened to sue me for like $3,000 for the grill of his truck.
Oh,
so,
no.
Moral of the story, watch where you put your block of wood. Don't go to California.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I never forget that. I was like, out of all people to hit, Glenn, I hit a lawyer in California?
In an Escalade.
Yeah,
which is going to cost $1,000 to fix a dent.
Oh, my gosh. So anyway, now I'm always really funny about I don't like flatbeds, and I always put the block of wood in the manger or something so it doesn't come out. But,
well, let's finally get off of all of these guys here on the show today and get to a good-looking woman. That's what I propose. That's your cue.
Like plan.
I threw that to you so you could introduce Ginger if she's ready.
Awesome. No, I'm glad we got Ginger Duke joining us today. Ginger is the opening coordinator for Roads of the Horse. And what that means is she puts together the opening ceremony, she makes sure all the sponsor flags are run in the correct order, the correct amount of times, and I think Ginger may be doing a little bit of trick riding at Roads of the Horse 2015, so we'll have to ask her about that. But good morning, Ginger.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am doing amazing. How are you guys?
We are great. We're great. And I have to ask you, I texted you yesterday and asked if you could join us, and you said you were shooting a commercial. So what were you doing yesterday?
We were shooting a commercial. I am sworn to secrecy until it comes out. So it's super exciting. As soon as it comes out, I'll let everybody know.
Where's it coming out? Where can we watch out?
Oh, I can't even
say
that because it would give it away.
Is this like a TV or video? Or?
It'd be a national commercial.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cool. There we go.
We're really excited.
Yeah. It was cold yesterday, wasn't it?
It wasn't as cold as the day before. It was pretty windy, and that wind, man, it can just rip right through you.
Awesome. So were you doing some trick riding yesterday? We're trying to get all the information we can out.
Yeah, I see you're trying to back into it.
No, we did not have our horses with us for this one.
Oh, wow. We'll just have to wait and find out.
Yes. It'd be pretty awesome. We're excited.
Oh, great. So, well, we're here on the Roads of the Horse show. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved in Roads of the Horse and what your duties are at Roads of the Horse.
Well, I have worked at Road to the Horse before, except in a kind of a different role. I've trick rode there before when it was in Tennessee, and I fell in love with it, and I have a friend that made a phone call to Tootie last year and said, you really need to get this girl involved, and so Tootie gave me a phone call, and she said, well, I would love for you to help out with the opening, and I was like, I would love to do that, which turned into a title. And we're coming back this year, and we're really excited. And like you said, we are in charge of all the sponsor flags and making sure that, you know, your wild card guys are there and flying the right flags and just make sure that where everyone's excited, keep everyone excited and ready to go in.
Yep. Awesome.
Now, I'm on your website, and I'm taking a look here, and I see that obviously you're a trick rider as well, and the website is Dynamite Dames. I love that name.
Correct. Thank you. We think we're pretty dynamite.
Now, do you do rodeos, things like that, any event that they'll hire you to come do?
Yes, sir. We do rodeos, horse shows, any equine event that someone calls and needs some entertainment at. And we're lucky enough that Tootie needed some time, you know, filled this year. And I was not shy about, we want a trick ride, throwing my hands up. And so I think that this year we are going to get to fill a little bit of time and do a little bit of trick ride and get the audience pumped up and show them some pretty cool things.
awesome. Where does one go when they say, I want to be a trick rider?
That was
how do
my
you
question,
start that?
Glenn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you, other than just falling off and learning the hard way, you know, how do you learn that skill?
Well, I'll tell you my story. And my story was I didn't start riding until I was 21. And I just, you know, I wanted to join a group or something. The group that I happened to join, they did trick riding. And I did gymnastics and cheered through college. So I kind of had the flexibility and the balance already there. It was just a matter of finding a good horse that would let me do those things and tolerate it.
Oh, so you've done a lot of gymnastics? Because for me, you look like a gymnast. You're kind of like muscular and short and look like you're really flexible. And I used to look at you and be like, man, she looks like a gymnast. So you really were.
I really was. I think that helped, you know, kind of push me to the top pretty fast on the trick riding. And then I rescued my first horse that he was who I trick rode on for 10 years, and he was amazing. I mean, it takes an amazing-minded horse to just be consistent because you don't have the reins. You just you literally are trusting your life into them, and I got extremely blessed that my first horse just, he kind of was a watcher, and he watched it, and we started performing pretty fast, and we didn't look back. We've trick rode all over the world together.
Was that T.J. Beauregard?
That would be T.J. He would be my main man. And this last year, I retired him. Now, I'll use him at Road to the Horse. I've just retired him to just kind of wintertime shows. You know, he's getting older. Summertime's a little bit harder on him. But Road to the Horse, he loved that last year. It was nice and cold there. And mm-hmm. But, it is so hard to pull up a new horse. I mean, when you trust your life for so long to one horse.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I've definitely had issues this year. Just your confidence in that horse is just off the charts. And so trying to pull a new one is just so hard.
that leads to a good question, is what makes a good trick horse, and how do you practice that without getting hurt? I mean, you know how to do it, but this is all new for the horse, so you must take baby steps.
You know, I start all my own horses, and people say, I can't believe that you're already sitting on its neck, or, you know, I can't believe you're standing on it. Well, I mean, it's the same for riding. I mean, they don't know riding, so they don't know that I'm not supposed to do that. So I pretty much just start them from the beginning, just doing really, you know, some basic maneuvers on them. And by the time I actually get them to where I'm cantering them and running them, they think, oh, that's just, you know, that's normal.
It's normal around here.
She's got a screw loose. Just ignore her.
So have you had any wrecks, Ginger? I mean, have you had any? I see some of those trick riders, and they're hanging off the back, near the back feet of the horse. Or have you had any times where you're like, ooh, I don't know if this was a good choice for me?
You know, the only wrecks I've had have been when I'm sick. Like one time I had a stomach virus and I did not have the energy, and I should have changed my tricks and I didn't. And you know, you live and you learn.
Yeah.
But I mean, show must go on. They hire you. There's not someone that can just fill in
take
for
your
you.
Place. That's for sure.
So, you know, and it's the same for horses. You know, you always have to bring backups. Some people always question, well, why do you bring so many horses? Like, well, it's not like I can borrow a horse. Like, your horse has to be trained for this. It's pretty dangerous, and you trust a certain animal. And so, I mean, we normally travel with about 6 horses. There's 3 of us that travel together, and we each have a backup horse.
Yep.
Well, you know, I know, a lot of the groups end up doing, obviously, rodeos and even parades and stuff. Is there an environment that you go, oh, I really don't want to do that environment again, that was trouble? Have you ever had one of those?
You know, we haven't. We've been really blessed that everywhere we've gone has just been, the people have been welcoming, amazing. It's pretty much like you just, everywhere we've gone, we find more family, basically, because there's been times, like, I can put on Facebook, hey, I'm going to be traveling to Kentucky and we need a layover point. And I will have 20 people in between Texas and Kentucky, hey, you know, come here. Just people we've met along the way that are welcoming. And, you know, mm-hmm. we do the same thing. I open my home up and say, you know, if you need a place to stay, just give us a call if you come to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every rodeo, every horse show we've done, we've just met the most amazing people, and we have not had any problems at all.
Mm-hmm. And I think that applies to the horse world in general, really. I've found the same thing with mounted shooting, that I've traveled the country for years and probably only ever used a horse motel maybe once or twice, you know. The rest
yeah,
of the
world,
you always find
just
someone along the way to put you up or change your tire or something.
Oh, I mean, just amazing. And we would do the same thing for them. I mean, I've seen
mm-hmm.
people stranded on Facebook and like, oh, you're only an hour from me. Do you need me to come get you and bring a trailer?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you return the favor, you know? I mean, you help people
yep.
out, and people are going to be willing to help you out. And traveling with horses and trailers and tires, you're gonna run into problems.
Oh, I hate tires.
I mean,
I hate tires.
Oh, my gosh.
I hate tires, and I hate lighting. That's my two things.
Tires and wiring are two things
yeah,
that every horse trailer has trouble with. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, and
I don't know what it is.
You get everything ready, and then you pull out the driveway, and you're like, crap, my trailer lights aren't working.
Exactly.
It's dark already.
You know, we can wire a house that the lights and wiring will last for 100 years, but a trailer we can't get to last for 2 weeks. I don't know what it is. I agree.
Exactly. I hate it.
Hey, let me ask you about the TV and movie stuff. How'd you get into doing some of the stuff I see on your credits here?
You know, people just call, and I mean, like, I was asked to try out for The Amazing Race, and it didn't end up working out, the timing. They kind of will just search the internet, and they'll find you, and it either works out or it doesn't. But, I mean, the movie that I did, Dakota Summer, was the sequel to Cowgirls and Angels, and it's a movie about trick riding, so they just started contacting trick riders, and I happened to be one of the lucky ones that got the phone call, and I, of course, I really want to get into the stunt world. I really like doing the stunts for the movie.
I would
and
never
so,
say that.
I love it. I love it. And not just horse stunts, like just stunts in general. I just,
uh-huh.
that's kind of a passion of mine. And I thought, you know, this would be an amazing opportunity to open some doors. And it has. And
uh-huh.
I just love it. And I love that we got to do the movie. And I'm ready to do more.
Does that mean you have your SAG card now?
You know, I do not have my SAG card. I got a letter that said I was qualified, and everyone I talk to tells me something different. So I keep getting mixed opinions on, yes, you need it, no, you don't. But I think I'm going to go ahead and break down and go ahead and get it. That way it opens up some bigger movie opportunities. Because, I mean, if I want to go out to L.A. and do some stuff, I'm going to have that. So, yeah, I'm working on that right now.
What we're talking about for everybody who doesn't know is the Screen Actors Guild. Basically, it's your license to be part of the group.
Exactly.
It makes you one of the in kids.
It sounds like a country club, Glenn.
It does. Pretty much.
Well, it also puts you in a database to where if someone needs something, you know, they need a specific stunt person, they can get on that database and be like, oh, well, this girl, she does it. And then they can call you
cheap.
Up. And
I mean, it's not cheap either. You got to buy that sucker, and that ain't cheap.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's pretty expensive. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. I mean, if that's what you want to do, you do it. You know, it's kind of like a horse, and then say the mounted shooting. If you need the horse and it's $10,000, you know, and
you
want to be
horse.
Competitive, you buy the horse.
Yep.
It also gets you in.
Mm-hmm. Then when you work, too, you're guaranteed, as I understand it, when you have the SAG card, you're guaranteed the minimum rate, the minimum daily rate, whereas if you don't have it, they don't necessarily have to pay you that. So
that's exactly right. It's kind of like it's a union, and
if you
have it, you are guaranteed a certain amount plus overtime, you know, plus whatever. Whereas if you don't have it, they can kind of pretty much bargain with you on what, you know, what your pay is.
Mhm. Oh, wow. And Tootie done a lot of stunt work in the movies, too. So I'm sure you and Tootie Bland, the owner of Rodeo the Horse, have had some chats about stunt work.
We are going to have some more chats. Because I love it. I'm excited. This new year is bringing a lot of new great stuff for us, and we're excited to get on the ball and get some work going.
Yep. Well, you're braver than me. All my stunts are not voluntary.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the good thing is you get back on and you do it again.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yep.
That's a cowgirl, you know? I have girls like want to come do lessons, and you get really bruised when you first start trick riding, and even throughout your career, your skin has to kind of toughen to it, you know? And girls will come like, oh, my gosh, you know, my legs are black and blue. I can't do this. Like, well, you're not really a cowgirl then, because that stuff happens.
Oh, my gosh. Do you have a lot of people want to learn how to do that?
You know, we get a lot of questions. And lately we've been getting a lot of, I want my four-year-old to trick ride. And
oh, my gosh.
I just,
that's Parent of the Year award.
I'm sick of this kid. Send him out to learn trick riding.
I mean, I want to buy the saddle, and, you know, I want my kid to do this. I'm like, so basically what you're telling me is you're living vicariously through your four-year-old. That's what you're telling me.
Exactly.
I mean,
that must happen a lot.
There's not very many four-year-olds that ride good enough, in my opinion, that I would want to teach to trick ride. You have to have a certain mental capacity of, is an accident going to happen? An accident is going to happen. Like, there is no doubt that
kind of like bull riding, it's a matter of when.
Yeah, it's just a matter of when. And I think people just see the glamorous part of it. They don't see the behind the scenes and what it takes to get your horse there, what it takes to get your body there, and the mental capacity that it takes. If an accident happens, you cannot panic. You have to stop and think, how can I get myself out of this situation? And a four-year-old just doesn't have that mental capability.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just say, you know, this is what your kid needs to start working on. If you want them to be a trick rider, put them in gymnastics, put them in cheerleading, put them in taekwondo, put them in something that's going to teach them balance, flexibility, and make them think a little bit, you know. But to put them on a horse, that just scares me to death.
So if people do want to learn more about trick riding, let us know your website again.
It's dynamitedames.com.
And on Facebook?
Dynamite Dames.
Awesome. Okay. Well, best of luck with the opening ceremony for Road to the Horse, Ginger. We'll definitely be there. We'll be watching. And I know you'll do a great job. And I want to come down and meet your old horse. I love old horses.
Oh, he would love that. I mean, he's kind of my Liberty Trick horse now. He's
what color is he?
My retired. He's black.
Aw. Probably gray by now, huh?
But he, you know, it's kind of funny. I have to take him to a friend's house if I load all my horses in the trailer and leave. Because he'll make himself sick because he can't go. I mean, some people are like, oh, you know, trick riding, that's, like, we don't have the reins. If our horse doesn't want to do it, they don't have to. And he loves his job, and I have to go either take him to the vet until I leave and then have somebody bring him back, because if he sees me leave with the rest of the trick riding horses, he gets mad.
Aw, you're such a good mom.
Oh, thanks.
Take you somewhere, bud.
I think it's funny that you bring him to the vet. Bring him to a worse place so that it seems great that he's going to be home by himself. So I like that.
Oh, that's great. Well, we can't wait for Road to the Horse. We look forward to seeing you and meeting him. And if people want to learn more, visit your website or catch you on Facebook.
Yes, thank you guys so much for having me on the show.
Thanks, Ginger.
Thank you, Ginger. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Merry Christmas to you guys.
Oh, Merry Christmas time already. I forgot about that, Glenn. I'm so for Thanksgiving.
It's the 4th. 21 days till Christmas, Tammy. You got to start shopping sometime. I haven't either, so we're in the same boat. See, you're one of the very few people I know that's more like me and waits to the last minute.
Yeah, I do wait to the last minute, except for my horses. They've always got, like, the little tinsel on their stalls, and I get my Christmas photos with them, and I love them.
Well, now, is there anything for the true Road to the Horse fan out there that their spouse can get for them over at Road to the Horse?
Absolutely. Great question. You know what we have? We've just
That's why I get paid the big bucks, Tammy. That's why I get the big bucks.
No, we've just put up the 2015 apparel for Road to the Horse, and I've actually got some myself. Love it. We've put a lot of winter sweatshirts on. There's some jackets. There's some we just put up a coffee travel mug. So all the new stuff is up already on roadtothehorse.com. You can shop on there. So there's some great clothing and great official apparel line for 15 already out for Christmas, Glenn. So we've been selling a lot of that. And, of course, tickets are on sale, roadtothehorse.com.
Another great holiday gift idea, right? Tickets.
That would be the best gift ever. And we don't have a lot of tickets left. They are they will sell out. So if you're thinking about going, want to go, be sure and get your tickets now before they're not available. So they're limited, and we're counting down, Glenn.
Well, I'm going to tell you, in case Tootie's listening right now, I will take for Christmas, if she wants to be nice and send me something, I will take the official soft shell jacket in the unisex. Those are so cool.
Do you love them? And they actually have laser engraving on them. They're laser engraved. It's not it has embroidery, but in addition to embroidery, it has laser engraving where the laser actually comes in and cuts out the top layer of the material or something. It's really cool.
They're microfleece, and you're right. They have the logo, you know, above the pocket there, you know, where your pocket would be. And then they also, but they have Road to the Horse real big down the jacket.
Yes.
And they're just cool looking. Maybe it's just that you've got a really handsome guy wearing it, and I'm going to look like crap in it. I don't know. But
that's actually Justin, and he's our arena coordinator, and he was the best model ever. And I have to say, Glenn, on those apparel photos, it was probably 35 degrees, and I had to ask him to model some T-shirts, and he was like, seriously, you want me to wear the T-shirt? And I'm like, yeah, and you got to look really happy about it. So poor Justin was out there, along with Christy, one of our apparel ladies, wearing that apparel when it was like 30 degrees. And you can't really tell from those photos. They've done a great job. So the apparel is, it was definitely a cold day when that happened, Glenn.
All right, well, I just wanted to let Tootie know that I am a probably an extra large. Extra large. I really like the gray. That would be fine. So you can send one of those over. I'd appreciate it. It'd be a great Christmas gift, wouldn't it?
They would. They would. Hopefully Jennifer's still listening.
Yeah, I probably have a better chance than Tootie sending me one. So,
I know. Yep.
Well, thank you, Tammy, for joining me once again. It is, Tammy is here, as we said earlier in the show. She's here the first Thursday of every month. And if you missed past episodes of Road to the Horse, you can, on Horses in the Morning, you can just go over to horsesinthemorning.com and type in Road to the Horse in the search bar, and it'll bring up all the past episodes, and you can take a listen to them. We only have one, two, three more episodes before Road to the Horse.
I know. It'll be here before we know it, Glenn.
Seems like we just did the last one.
I know. Don't have a lot of time left.
Time does fly. So check that out. Also, we'll be back here tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning. Jamie will be here. I don't know if you saw that that somebody sent us a little drawing for the holidays of Jamie and I. And we posted that, and we decided to go Simpsons this year for the Christmas, and that is on our Horses in the Morning page. I don't know if you saw that drawing, but
I'm going to have to check it out. That sounds hilarious.
Yeah, check it out. Jennifer thought it was creepy, but Jamie said, oh, it makes me look hot. Yeah, definitely, we'll use it.
I'm going to go look at that as soon as we get off.
Jamie looks hot, and I look creepy. Check it out on our Horses in the
Morning
page.
That's about right.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. All right. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate you being here. Check out the app. Easiest way to listen to the recorded version of Horses in the Morning is on the Horse Radio Network app. Go to iOS or Android App Store and search for Horse Radio Network. It's free and it's easy to download. It's the way most of the people listen to our show now when they're out cleaning stalls, driving the car, you know, just doing dishes, whatever boring task you have to do. I know a lot of people listen on their way to work every day, and we certainly appreciate that. Merry Christmas, Tammy. Let's mention, too, one other thing. We are going to be doing our all-host episode. Are you joining us for that this year?
Yes, I am, and I loved the email that said alcohol encouraged.
Yeah, well, we always encourage that before we record that. But, yeah, this year we're going to be doing our all-host episode again. It'll be the sixth year that we do that. And what it is we get all the different hosts from all the different shows together and just have a big party when we record it and talk about what their favorite things of the year were and, you know, just different things every year. And we just have a laughing good time. And that comes out Christmas week. So we always play that across all of the different shows on Christmas week. And, Tammy, you're kind enough to join us again this year. You've been with us for a lot of years.
Yep,
for that.
Got it on my schedule, Glenn. I'll be there.
All right, cool. Very good. Thank you, everybody. Have a terrific day. And you know what? Let's end with a little holiday cheer. Let's see what I have in here. How about, let me see. Give me a second. Here we go. How about have yourself a Merry Little Christmas from Templeton Thompson to end the show.
You're getting so Christmassy on me, Glenn.
I know. Here we go. See you, Tammy.
Bye.
Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the more through the years. chase the light.